In the words of Meredith Marks, when it comes to that week, week and a half before my period, I wish I was disengaging. My PMS is off the charts. Truly, Uber Eats needs to check in and say, it's about that time, isn't it? I know it is. The cravings are crazy. I want to crawl out of my skin. Now it's easier to manage PMS with Estro Control. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony and Estro Control, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. For AGs who are friends of perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause, Happy Mammoth has Hormone Harmony. It's not just a supplement for women going through those stages, it's also become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. I'm engaging. Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/AndysGirls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/AndysGirls. Sign up today.
I don't need my theater degree to bring the drama.
Ooh, let's see. While I'm keeping up with the Kardashians, you're keeping up with me.
You guys.
So lame.
That was so good. I'm so...
Oh, you make a gal feel good.
Into it. You guys, it's Andy's Girls episode 9 million. I think it's technically 73. Who's to say, Mariah Smith? I am so excited to have a new guest to the Real Housewives People's Couch. Mariah Smith, can I give you a little shout out? Can I read your bio to you?
This will be
like the first time you've ever heard it, except not. Okay. Mariah Smith, a comedian, writer, and producer, as well as a Kardashian, not a Kardashian, the Kardashian truther. Mariah is the creator of Keeping Up with the Continuity Errors, which you created in 2015.
Yes.
Ryan Holler research, a blog that tracks the continuity errors in Keeping Up with the Kardashians using, this is a direct quote from your website, because I was like, she's amazing, don't fuck with it, using Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and common sense, which is like, so,
oh God.
I have to tell you, I've been reading that blog forever. I don't know if I've been reading it since 2015, but there have been real times where I don't watch, like I usually binge the Kardashians. Mm-hmm. I don't watch it as it
right, as
airs.
It's airing. You're not on Sunday night, like glued
right.
To
but
the
I would read your blog because I found it so interesting.
Oh my God.
And even when you're like spelling out in your bio how it is you're coming to fact check essentially their production and their production cycle, I'm like, how the fuck does she do it? I mean, it's so, it seems like it would be an enormous job. Well, tell us, like, how it happened, how you do it, how you make
it. Here's the thing. When I started it in 2015, I was a PA on a show called Best Week Ever, the, like, reboot.
Of course.
And I was just out of college. Well, not... Was I just out of college then? Oh, God. No, I wasn't. I don't even know. But anyway, I was watching the show for work every day or every week. And, like, my two shows I was assigned were The Kardashians and The Steve Harvey Show. Steve Harvey Show made me die inside. The Kardashians, this is before I had cable. I was watching it, like, torrenting it on, like, different sites.
Oh, my God. I wish I was smart enough to know how to do that.
Yeah. Well, then I became sort of obsessed. But there was one episode when Kim was pregnant with North, and it was when Chloe was still with Lamar, and Chloe was, like, thinking about maybe adopting, or because her narrative was that she couldn't get pregnant with Lamar,
right,
but
I
then
remember
we later
that.
Realized she was just like, I'm not getting pregnant with him because he's a drug addict.
Yeah.
And, but, so one scene, Kim had brunette hair, a full belly, and was talking about, you should adopt. The next scene, Kim was talking to Chloe, and the scene starts with her saying, yesterday when we were talking about you adopting with Lamar, and I was like, yesterday, at this point, Kim had blonde hair, which she only got after North was born, and a pillow over her stomach that was way flatter than it was when she was pregnant, and I was like, oh my God. Then I realized the date that she had filmed that, it was like 3 months later, blah, blah, blah. So that sort of got my wheels turning, and working in TV, I loved the idea of production, continuity, like what belongs, what doesn't belong, and then we go that way. I started doing that, and I started the blog as a joke on Tumblr, the only website I knew how to work, and by the end of the week, I was like, I would love if 10 people looked at this. By the end of the week, I think it was like 5 or 10,000 people had looked at it, so I decided to just keep going. But then when I first started, it took me, I was just telling someone earlier this week, 24 hours to write it, like, because it was a lot of, I was learning how to look as properly as I should and, like, double checking everything, getting all the, even figuring out how do I get the screenshots, all that stuff. But then now I am, it takes not as long, which is great. It takes probably, like, if I'm in a crunch, I could do it maybe in 6 hours. But typically, I like to give myself 12 hours to do it.
So how do you do it? You're, like, literally, you're watching the show and then you're, like, what looks weird? Let me
I
back
watch
it
the
up.
Show
or you just know? No.
Well,
it's
it
like
depends.
You have the dates in there,
it
too.
It depends, yeah. So I watch the show. I watch the show at least like 3 to 4 times, but I watch it the first round and I'm taking notes on each scene. I break everything up into scene. Then I go back and look at what I found interesting from the episodes, and I look at scenes that I'm like, this is what I definitely want to add in. This is what I might add in. This is what I definitely don't want to add in. Just in terms of it's interesting to me, or if I think it'll be interesting to other people. And then I look from the dates on there, but it just is, I don't know, it's a process. But like I was telling you, I used to work at Watch What Happens Live.
Yes, you guys.
Yes, so I, but the,
inside scoop.
I know, inside scoop. So when I worked on Watch What Happens, we were live on Sundays. So I didn't get home from work until like 12:30, 1 a.m. basically, which was, and so sometimes it would be like, okay, do I stay up and watch the show tonight or wake up super early before work and do it? So, and then at Watch What Happens, you don't have to be at work until like the early afternoon. So usually I would take Monday mornings to fully do it.
Oh my God.
Or do it on the subway on the way to work. So.
Holy shit. Yeah. So do you still enjoy watching The Kardashians like as a viewer?
Mm-hmm.
Is that your show? Is that like your number one?
My number one show actually is Vanderpump Rules. I think that
really?
If you're not watching Pump Rules, something is severely wrong.
It's so good.
It's so good. And it's like the perfect, perfect, perfect reality show. Not even reality show, just show. It's fascinating. But I do there's something about the Kardashians that I genuinely love and enjoy watching. And I find it soothing. And this season, at least, has been like exciting. Oh, God.
We're getting some feedback. I don't know why. I think
I
it's the mic.
I wonder. I don't think it's my phone.
No, I don't think it's your phone either. Good. I think it's that mic. That mic is problematic. I'm so
the
sorry.
The mic hates me.
The mic just is getting to
the
know
mic
you.
Said, we don't like this new guest.
So, guys, I hope you enjoy that. We're getting a little bit of like a side something. So what is your, who's your favorite Kardashian to watch?
My favorite Kardashian. Oh, that's an interesting question. Like on screen, on the show?
Yeah.
On the show, my favorite Kardashian to watch would have to be Kim, because she sort of is like the she's in most of the episodes. She's the driving force behind everything. And she's really working hard to make the show like a show. So even when people are doing these little side bits like the Art Vandelay thing from this past episode, she is being like
so good.
It was good, but it was so stupid and silly. And I'm like,
and there's no way that Chris was like, this is like an artist's work. Yeah. It was terrible.
It's insane. So I think that Kim just is, and when Kim is really upset, you can tell. And like when she's actually feeling like she wants to show the world her true emotions, she goes there.
So do you think that the fight this week with Kim and Courtney was real or scripted?
I think that's all real because they do have
Sorry, guys. God. I don't know what's happening with that. Okay, that's never happened before. Sorry, Mark.
Let's see. Is this better?
It's better now. We're good. Yeah, yeah.
So I think that there are a lot of like side comments Kim has made in the past. Like one episode a few seasons ago, she got into another fight with Courtney and was like, why would I buy her a pair of shoes? I bought her a career.
Yes.
And there's these little nuggets of resentment that I think Kim doesn't feel that her sisters are gracious enough towards her for getting them this lifestyle.
Right.
So I think that they're, and you know, those emotions are real. Like Kim feels those emotions. So that makes sense if she doesn't think Courtney's pulling her weight or Courtney is taking advantage of the family's hard work and like resting on her laurels to just trot about the world with Eunice, then she's just mad. And Courtney does not have the emotional or acting chops to pull off those like heavy sobs that
she was
doing.
She looked really upset. Yeah. And her sisters, like Chloe, looked genuinely shocked/concerned.
Yeah, they were
concerned. Like it was weird
because I think that two things were happening. One, they were shocked that Courtney was actually showing that type of emotion.
Yes.
And two, that she was doing it on camera. I think that if they've ever seen her cry that way, it was not, you know, she's only ever cried that way before on TV when she was first breaking up with Scott when he first cheated on her. Like
before she was pregnant with Mason.
No,
no.
It was
well
after all the kids. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Who's your least favorite? Who do you like loathe to see?
Kendall.
Yeah, what the fuck is up with Kendall? And then they like pretend in the tabloids that like she's dating all these people. Yeah. I'm like, I genuinely could give less of a fuck. She's so unappealing in every way.
I think Kendall is like a sour, sour human.
And I think she gets that from Caitlyn because I think Caitlyn is like kind of human garbage.
Caitlyn and Caitlyn recently being like, I'm going to D.C. all these times. Like, sis, if you're in D.C., we would know. Because people made a fuss about Kim being there. They'd make a fuss about you being there because your politics are sideways and you don't even know what you're saying, essentially.
And then she pretends to be shocked that like this administration doesn't really die for the LGBTQ community.
Exactly.
She's like, I don't know.
Or she's saying,
I don't know.
You don't understand. I know the real them. Well, show them to us. Show that to us.
And maybe their responsibility should be legislating as they are human people. You know, like if
Caitlyn,
they seem like
you don't get it. You are
she's
the
such
1%.
A fucking moron. I mean, 100%. She's 100% the 1%.
Yeah. So
interesting. So let's talk all things Bravo. So you just mentioned you were a member of the Watch What Happens Live team.
Yes.
What was that experience like? Because you've been a Bravo super fan right throughout
that
time.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. I was there for a few years and like everyone there is so smart and like knows Bravo like the back of their hand. And
yes,
it is almost like a Bravo boot camp. Oh God. So when I first started, I was heavily watching Atlanta, Beverly Hills and.
Sorry guys for this Pump audio Rolls. Thing. Literally, this has never happened before, but we're working our way through it. Yeah. Yeah. So you say that one more time.
So I was watching when I first started, I was watching Atlanta, Beverly Hills and Pump Rules. So I was sort of like a newer Bravo fan, I would say, or not as like. I didn't have all of my history because when I first started watching Atlanta, I was in middle or high school, I want to say.
Yeah.
And that was really, you know, obviously the very beginning. And then I sort of fell off and I jumped back in because I used to work on Fashion Queens and we did
a lot
of Bravo stuff. We covered Atlanta occasionally on there. So I had to like keep up with that for that. But working at Watch What Happens made me really appreciate the reality TV craft and who these people are who are sharing their lives and like seeing them coming in and out. And they're exactly like they are on TV. They're just, you know, and that's
what I love, because other reality stars, they come in and they try to act like reality stars.
Right, these
people are like, this is who you are. Luann acts like Luann, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Really? That's Luann. Cameras there or not. So that's what I loved about it. But the best thing, honestly, was since we had to know what was happening on every show, like,
yeah,
we got screeners and we're able to watch them, because we have to, you know, put the Watch What Happens Live together. You
of
have to
course.
Know what's happening
yeah.
for episodes coming up next. So, like, that's what I loved, and that's what I miss a lot. Because now I miss so many episodes because I have to watch them live. And my
yes,
DVR
you don't
is, like,
get those
fully,
teasers.
Yeah, but I actually love it because I get to live tweet. Like, when I was at Watch What Happens, I couldn't live tweet because I was working. I can't
of
interact
course.
With, like, the social. I was, you know, getting questions from people online for
yeah,
Andy.
Yeah.
I couldn't tweet stuff out myself. So that's probably what I like. I'm enjoying being just a full-time fan, and it's remarkable because I get to text my friends being like, oh my god, this happened, I can't believe that they showed, like, you know, I don't just any literally anything, like, looking at Dallas, I watched the teaser and I texted my friend and I was like, what is gonna happen? But I don't want them to tell me anything because it's fun not knowing, and
totally.
It gives a new, like, life to it all.
Did you ever feel like it was taking away something to meet these people in real life? Or did you feel like because they were genuinely so authentic to themselves that
yeah, no,
it was just sort
not.
Of a pleasure?
Yeah, it was always a pleasure. And, like, when we, our space was pretty small, so it's a tight-knit community. And, like,
yeah.
everyone knows everyone. And, like, especially the Bravo cast and the New York people, Bravo cast members and New York people especially, since they're all, when they're in season, at least one of them is there once a week.
Sure.
And think of, you know, like the Ramonas and Sonias who
oh
have been there for, they've been coming to the show
10 years.
10 years. So they know talent. They know us. They feel comfortable in the space. And, like, they respect the space. They respect Andy. They respect the show. So it never ever felt weird because it was just like everyone's happy to be there.
So you're a Pump Rules diehard. Were
mm-hmm.
you there the night that Lala and James got totally trashed
yes.
and were hot, sloppy, drunk
yes.
messes and couldn't
yes.
stop swearing
yes.
and forgot that they were on TV
that
and that they were just
first,
hanging out at a bar?
Exactly. That was both their first appearances on the show.
And what an appearance.
It was, I remember watching and being like, we were all just watching the monitors with our mouths agape. We were shocked. It was just, and it was so, it was equal parts terrifying and funny to watch, because we're like, people at home aren't going to be able to know what's going on because it's going to be just like a beep the whole time.
100%.
So it was so, it was thrilling and scary. And we're like, will these people ever come back on this
yeah,
show?
Yeah, will they get fired from their yeah. other job? Because it was so, and Andy did not
he didn't
look
appreciate it. Yeah.
thrilled. Because it is actually a little disrespectful, of course.
Well,
you're like showing up to his TV show,
like,
and it's not providing good content because
right,
you're too trash.
That's the biggest thing. Not even that. It's like, there have been times where people have been super trash on the show. Like, I think it was Jack K. Harry and someone else. And
oh,
like,
yeah.
that's fun. And but the biggest thing when people are just like cursing left and right on a live show is, no one at home can hear what's happening because they have to bleep out
of course.
A fair amount before and after the curse word. So if there's a string of 5 curse words, every other word, then you're not getting anything.
What's the delay? Is it like a 2 second,
like a
10
second?
Oh, 30?
Delay.
Oh, shit. Okay, that's great.
I think, but I'm not positive, actually. I have no idea. But I know it's like it's a quick enough. It might be I have no idea, actually. I can't even remember. But yeah, it's like there's not enough time to cut, and like it's legit live. So
oh my god, it really is
yeah.
legit live. And what was your experience like working with Andy?
Andy's
Papa
great.
Bear.
Andy and I both actually grew up in St. Louis and went to the same high school.
Oh my god,
so,
that's
like,
amazing.
We know a lot of the same things.
Folks,
yeah.
okay, yeah.
And like our, yeah, he's great. He's absolutely great. Like there's.
Really?
No, I think there are, and I've worked in late night for a fair amount of time, and everyone, I've had great experiences, but I will say that Andy's just one of the most, like, genuine, down-to-earth people, and is a great boss.
That's
yeah.
awesome. That's so good to hear, because also, you know, I've met several Bravo Lebs, and I don't think I've been, like, disappointed yet
yeah, uh-huh.
in a great way, whereas, you know, my day-to-day job, I'm, like, mix and mingling with celebs, and some of them are amazing and
yeah.
some of them are not.
Yeah, and so that's what you get. Yeah, and like right. you never know. And people can be as sweet as they want to be on, you know, on TV. And then when you meet them in real life and are in the nitty gritty, it's a complete different story. But I'm so thankful that that has. That
oh, my God, 100%. And yeah. I feel like also that there's an intimacy with watching reality TV because you're genuinely mm-hmm. you feel like you're a participant in these people's lives. Yes. Yes, like when yes. things happen, like, you know, I was recording Andy's Girls with Ryan Houlihan last week. And the news broke about Dennis passing
Jesus
while we were recording. So I got like a text alert, news alert from a friend. No, it might have actually been a list. I forget who it was. And then people started ramming me with information like over like former guests. Like everybody was reaching out on all. It was just crazy because we were talking about Potomac. And then Ryan was saying something like crazy amazing about like Karen's hair or whatever. It was phenomenal. And then I was like, hold on 1 second. Oh wait, finish that thought. And then we're going to talk because this is
breaking. Yeah.
It's breaking like, news. Yeah. And it feels like it's a character in a show, but it's like, no, this is like an actual man's
life. And
one
of the things that really stuck out to me is my friends and I, we were talking about it when the news broke. Where was I? I think I was out of town, but I can't remember where I was last week. Now I can't even remember.
Tom-toms.
Not Tom Tom. Where was I?
Oh, sir, my God. Pump.
No, I wish I... This is in...
Charleston.
Oh, no, I was in Connecticut. Okay.
With Luann.
Yeah, I was with Lou.
Okay, great.
But I saw that news, and I'm like, this is equal parts horrifying, and also we know this man. We know enough about his life where he's been a character on the show. But then I thought, think of all the other men who this has happened to that we don't know the names of. Like there are
with
so
like
many,
opioid yeah. overdoses. Yeah. It like fucking like,
it
sucks.
It made you think. And I felt so. But then you go back to even to like Bobby Zarin's funeral, even though Jill hasn't been a regular on the show for a while. That was something that like. We had as longtime viewers of the show had to see. Like, I can't imagine that not having been televised.
Speaking of Bobby Zarin's funeral, Page Six just showed has a little clip of next week's New York reunion where I guess Andy brings up, this just popped up on my phone. See how things are happening. Andy brings up Bobby's funeral and Bethany reconnecting with Jill. And Andy says to Bethany, you know, it was a big surprise you reconnected with yeah. Jill. And Ramona says opportunistic under her breath, which is. Amazing. She continues, what I think was really bizarre, because I'm just jumping right in here, is that you told the production crew you wanted to film it, Singer said, after Frankel's monologue on her friendship with Zarin and what the funeral meant to her. We all went without really wanting to film it, and we didn't even know you were filming it. Dorinda says, I got a text, and then Andy says, actually, we were invited by Jill, and we wanted to cover the funeral. And Frankel says, that's right, yeah. And then Ramona says, you never told us. Dorinda says, I don't want to be filmed at Bobby's funeral. I find it morbid because Jill's a good friend. I wanted to be informed so I could avoid the cameras. And Ramona says that Bethany only jumped out of the car when the cameras started rolling.
Oh, God.
My God, which is such an, first off, New York, the best season of all time. God. Best season of all time, better than season 3. Better than Bethany versus Jill Scary Island.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's like
I have Columbia was
a lot.
Columbia was a beautiful time. It was beautiful. And the drama, just the sheer, like that table scene where where there are two fights in the third
War of the World.
Just it was so amazing to see like four of the six are going at it. Then the other two are just like having a normal conversation.
Yeah,
and all these things are happening. And everyone's just shook and shocked and hot. And like, why is this? It was
wearing statement jewelry.
Oh my God. Lou in that wig. Ramona in the wheelchair. The poop smear. I just have never.
Poop smear for days, by the way.
I've never gotten my life like that. And I do think it rivals Scary Island, but I have to, I need to go back and watch Scary Island again because that's just a classic.
Right. It's taken its place in history.
Yeah.
Like it's being archived.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Classic.
Like it is a classic moment, but there's something about this season. I don't know that it's the specifics of the Bethany Carol fight, but I feel like it's more the history of the knowledge, knowing about what went down with Bethany versus mm-hmm. Jill mm-hmm. that's influencing the viewer's perspective yeah. on Bethany versus Carol, no matter what side you're on.
Well, here's the thing. Another aspect of that, which is that I was talking with some friends, and I forget, one of my friends, I think one of, a friend of mine, Caitlin, brought it up, was that this could be, because we had been talking all season, that there was some unknown between the tension between Bethany
totally.
And Carol.
Totally, like what started it? What triggered it?
What wasn't spoken?
Yeah.
We think it was that Carol wasn't supportive enough of Bethany dealing with Dennis's addiction. And dealing with possibilities that because also,
do you think it was a real addiction or do you think it was an accidental overdose?
No, I think it was something that was like, but you don't really accidentally overdose unless you've consistently been.
Right. I don't know enough about it. It's terrible.
So I think
I know it's like taking over our country, but yeah. I don't know enough about like the day to day. But that's exactly right, because your tolerance is building and then
exactly.
your personality so changes more. And you're constantly.
And yeah. Bethany had always said, and especially with the news come out that he apparently proposed to her for real in the spring and she.
Right. She didn't say yes.
She didn't say yes, but she didn't say no. She always said that I think it was also, when did she say that? She's like, sometimes you need more than love for a
totally.
Relationship. So I think that there were some demons that they were struggling with in terms of what, and whether, even if it wasn't simply even if it wasn't an addiction, like all the time, it was obvious that he was.
It was a lifestyle.
Yeah. So I think that was one of the things that stopped her from marrying this man. And Carol's possibly not being supportive enough in that way could have been a part
because
of
Carol's
it.
like a pothead and like tokes back or like
no
do
I
you
just think
that
she didn't take it probably didn't take it as seriously as Bethany
really?
Wanted her to, and Bethany also has been riding hard for Lou in her sobriety, so like there's something that
there must be some sort of connection.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I mean, meanwhile, Jason Hoppe was in court today or yesterday, and his lawyer said that he doesn't think that joint custody is appropriate because Bethany's lifestyle might be linked to Dennis's
Jesus
drug
Christ.
Addiction.
No.
He literally said, mm-hmm. They like cited some episode of RH the season where she was drunk, which is like, guys, like her company is Skinny Girl. Like she,
oh my God.
She's
like she's
become a
liquor.
Billionaire because
yeah.
of liquor.
Yeah.
You can't begrudge her for yeah. that. And I've had a problematic relationship with Bethany and our imaginary best friendship. Like I've sort of been team Carol, I have
wow.
to say. I
okay.
know. Shocking.
I'm a
Shocking.
Big Carol fan and I've been more team Bethany.
Okay. Tell me everything about this. Like, please like teach me your talent. What about it makes you team Bethany, because I have been a Bethany OG for so long
yeah.
and it's really been
cut. I think that I'm just like, Bethany's using the wrong, at least from what's been spoken, is
yeah.
using the wrong ammo against Carol. Because even when she's attacking Carol, how she's speaking, she's like, what are we, 28-year-olds? It's like, you guys are all talking like you're in your early 30s.
Right.
That's not
and you're 80.
Mad. Yeah.
Right.
That's,
no, 100%.
Like, that's not a battle you're going to pick.
Right.
And wait, am I team? No, I'm not team Carol. But I do think that Carol also is, she's getting a little too big for her britches. You know, she has been on the show for a while, but she thinks now that she's reached a point where she can sort of one up Bethany, and she's gotten what she's needed out of Bethany and can be sort of
she's found her own voice.
Yeah. And that she can be one of the, like, leaders of the pack, when that's really not ever been her place on the show. You know, it's like Carol's
yeah.
not the one taking them on vacations or hosting the big dinners. She's like, that's not your lane. And I think that the way she also I think doesn't take Bethany's emotions seriously. And one big thing, and this is sort of like the Kardashians and Kourtney, even if someone isn't typically emotive or emotional or says how they feel all the time,
yeah,
that still doesn't mean that when they do, you shouldn't take it seriously, you know, because they're like, that's out of character for them to say you hurt my feelings. So you still hurt their feelings. Deal with it.
Do you think, though, that it's possible that Carol has just seen Bethany react in this way? Because Bethany being kind of like a broken bird,
mm-hmm.
which is how I sort of look at her mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, isn't new. We've seen her
yeah.
react to challenging personal crises in a sort of similar way and isolate herself.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't been helped with the enormous financial success and career
yeah.
that she's had, you know, while she was on hiatus from Housewives.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if at a certain point Carol looked at her and was like, I can't do this anymore. And for her own kind of mental health, just started to separate and probably didn't communicate it. Like, I see Carol as someone that's, you know, she might not have communicated because she was scared, because she didn't want that to start something. But I sort of see it as there could have been five different reasons, you know, that they are no longer, that they started a separation. I don't think that there was one inciting incident. I definitely don't think that it was primarily Adam at this point. I think that there was,
absolutely not.
I think it was right. I think it was a couple different things, and it just started to gnaw at her, and she realized that for whatever reason,
this wasn't going to work.
It wasn't going to work. And she maybe didn't communicate that to Bethany. So then Bethany feels like, you're not supporting me. You're distracted. You're sad about Adam. There's nothing else that Bethany can see, because Bethany can't necessarily see herself. Right. I don't think she sees her behavior.
Oh, absolutely not. And I think that she sees herself as A, always right. And she thinks that she's seeing the right side of the coin. But I do, I hesitate to, like, I do, you have a great point. I hesitate to think that Carol willingly separated herself from Bethany without saying anything. Because Carol's like, she's thirstier than we think. She would have done that. She would have made that clear on
camera.
She wouldn't have done that between seasons, you know? She would have been like, I'll go to a couple of lunches with Bethany at the beginning of the season, and then in a confessional say, I think we're, you know, we have different priorities. And then that would have been like the nugget for the rest of the season. But I just think that both of them, there was a massive miscommunication, and that it just got out of hand. And I never really bought how close they actually were.
I mean, they did go to the, like, Galapagos Islands together. They vacationed. They did vacation a lot
together.
Yeah, but maybe that's not really, that's a sort of superficial friendship when you're, like, going on your little kiki.
Exactly. So I'm like, I don't, and I also do think to Carol's,
sorry. That's actually okay. I'm going to ask one quick thing. Do you mind turning off that fan? I feel like maybe the fan up against the, might be doing it. Yeah, we're going to, oh no, that's great. Yeah, just moving it away. Okay, perfect. That might help us. We're going to see. We're going to see if that helps. Watch it get worse. Yeah. No, you're perfect. Okay. Perfect.
No, but I do think that it was
Didn't help. Amazing. Okay, great.
Oh my God. Am I connected? Here we go.
Yeah, you're good. I don't know what. Let me hold it. I'm going to hold. Let's going to trade. Okay, guys. I hope you're really enjoying
this. Work?
Okay. Tell me what happens.
Awesome.
Okay.
We'll see how it goes. Oh, my God. Maybe my hands
that's
just don't
weird.
Like that mic.
No, I don't know.
Well, no. I do think that one thing that just tickled me this season is the uproar of Bethany being mad that Adam wanted to be compensated for the, like, the trip to, was it when they went back to Puerto Rico?
I think it was Houston.
To Houston.
They were doing something in Houston.
Yeah, and I was like, this poor boy is, like
literally
not
literal
making
boy.
Money off of his little vegan treats and whatever. It's like, you are.
Even though I want to eat them.
Like, I do. Yeah, I do. But I'm like, he's not rolling in it like you are. I would even offer someone like a stipend if I asked him to come to Houston with me and photograph.
Of course.
Mine, and I am a triple quadruple millionaire. It's like, I don't see the issue. So that was weird. It's like, Bethany picks the wrong battles, and she does think that, and I think that's sort of a wall she puts up, because like picking the right battles and actually showing how truly emotionally rocked she was by Carol sort of breaking up from their friendship would be not necessarily embarrassing, but too out of character for her to show to anyone close to her, you know? So I think picking these little battles is her way of being like, her way of crying out.
I just feel like we've seen so much of her crying out. And I just, here's the thing with Bethany is like, when Dennis died, I just honestly thought to myself, and I might have said this on like the show, if there was ever a chance of her working on like genuine self-care, like going to a Dr. Amador, sure, now would be the time. But I also feel like it's too late. Like, this is just too much, because she has had so many traumas in her life and has figured out how to cope. But this is something that somebody told me, when you figure out how to like cope but not heal.
Yes.
And she has figured out how to cope.
That's
in
her life.
Short spurts, but not heal. There's a certain point where you can seek help or not, but it's your responsibility. Like, it's not her fault that she had a shitty childhood. Of course, it's not her fault that terrible things have happened to her, but it is still her responsibility to not have that run her life and to figure out a way to work through it. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the crazy mm-hmm. thing with like Ramona referencing her childhood when she like wants to take a helicopter to a cocktail party. I mean, like yeah. you can use it as an excuse or you can use it, you know, as an explanation while you kind of figure yourself out. And I feel like
yep.
the Dennis thing happening, it was like, I felt sad for it because I felt like this is the last opportunity where Bethany is going to be, there was an opportunity where Bethany would maybe look in the mirror mm-hmm. and realize like she needed genuine help. And then fucking Dennis dies
wow.
out of nowhere, which by the way, any kind of death is terrible, but a death with no notice is a double yeah. trauma because you think yeah. of your last conversation. Obviously none of us, or at least I had no idea that it was getting to the point of there being an engagement mm-hmm, being mm-hmm. discussed, if that's true. And I mean, she's allegedly been like wearing a diamond ring yeah. on her hand or whatever since his death, like on her right hand. So like, who knows if that was the ring, whatever. But it just feels like it was too much. Mm-hmm. That is too much mm-hmm. for a person who we've seen break down over and over again to go through.
Yeah.
And for me, it was like, I don't think this is going to be a wake up call. I think she's just going to be struggling to kind of get through. I don't know. It's terrible.
I'm interested to see what is going to happen because it is, because she's, like you said, the healing or coping, but not healing. Is
right.
that
right? Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But she is the type of person who was just like a workhorse and she can refocus her mind. And totally. That's like just
solely focus yeah. her mind.
And it's like emotionally dangerous essentially because it's not allowing yourself to really feel and really understand what, where and why you're feeling these emotions.
And then she just breaks out in like spurts of anger and disgust and rage. And it's like, you don't understand that is living inside of your body mm-hmm. and is so toxic. And then she's
so unhealthy.
It's so unhealthy. And she talks all the time about like how, even though she's going through this horrific custody battle, you know, Bryn is perfectly happy and Bryn is yeah. fine. And it's like, I don't know if mommy and daddy hate each other that much. I would think that a seemingly super, I'm sure Bryn is like whip smart. Both her parents seemed very, like yeah. very smart and very driven in different ways. I don't see how that doesn't affect the kid. And mm-hmm, I would mm-hmm. think with Bethany, knowing her estrangement with her mother, she would want to make sure to yep. end the cycle. And I just don't yep. see, you're setting up your child to wow. choose sides, and your expectation is because you have the money and the glamour and the fun that the kid is going to go your side.
Exactly.
But the kid might choose neither, you know.
Oh, Lord.
Bryn's yep. going to be able to Google this shit one day, and it just makes
that is
me
the scariest
sad.
Part. It's like everyone knows, like, just the thought of like her child. And I was thinking about with Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt.
Oh, my God. Like, I can't stop reading about it.
To, like, look it up
yes.
now. And I guess that their
Maddox
kids
is, like,
are,
probably,
yeah.
like, 18
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, they're, like,
he's
our
a fucking
age,
adult.
You know?
Yes,
and I'm like,
yes,
wow.
I am 18, by the way. 100%. taking that running with it.
Wow. You forget, like, oh, my God, this will be so easily accessible for as quickly as, you know, like, so soon. And you also think about, like, the douchebag parents who are probably talking about it at home in front of the Bryn's classmates, then her
100%.
Classmates like, well, what did your blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Like that's all just, it always just comes back around, and the drama attached to it. And even the pettiness of Jason going to court being like, we should, you know, it's like, don't use that. You voluntarily were on that show. You probably wanted to be on the show when you met her. Like
right.
all of this, it's just such BS. It's such BS.
And then he uses it against her, and it's like, yeah, but yeah. you're also, I mean, like, how much money did you make off that marriage? You made yeah. a pretty penny. Like, I don't entirely believe that Jason is like a subhuman piece of trash, and that's
really?
It's straight out of the gate. I know a lot of people that do. I think that I don't know what his motives were when he got together with Bethany, mm-hmm. but I think being on the show, being on reality TV in a marriage, relationship, whatever,
yeah.
is just genuinely not a good idea
yeah.
unless you are super solid. And Bethany as a person in relationships, I just do not believe that she's solid. Mm-hmm. You've seen mm-hmm. it. She freaks out when she exploded mm-hmm. at her, I think it was her 40th birthday with Jason, was hysterically crying in a bathroom. Like
yeah.
she
yeah.
just
yeah.
is a mess and hasn't figured out how to
deal.
Mm-hmm. And so I think that possibly affected him. I think him not making any fucking money and
yeah.
being beholden to his wife and his wife's business.
I think he also has an
rough.
Issue just seeing how he's reacted to the divorce and the fallout. He has an issue, I think, and not to like overstep, probably has an issue with successful women, and like that makes him insecure.
Oh, totally. Because 100% she can own the narrative. Yeah. When they break up, who's the one that can afford a publicist? Like, exactly. He's allegedly playing, or an investor is paying for his attorney's fees right now to get that's a cut sad. Of whatever, which I feel like that's the business right now where like these people go up against bajillionaires and they find some, yeah, it's crazy when you think about it. But I think that for him, it's like, it's not just that the show's over, but my ex-wife is back on TV and she can kind of rewrite the script of how I'm seen, even if she doesn't directly
just
say
the way
his
she's
name
hurt
or,
yeah, just the way she shows how like taxing the whole process is on 100% her for the past, since she's been back on the show, you know?
I think it's messy and a mess, and I think this whole Dennis thing is just like another round, and it's just sad to see what they do.
Do you think she'll come back,
Bethany?
Yeah.
I don't think she has a choice but to. I think the reason that she's 100% coming back is because I absolutely think that she threw down and was like, if Carol's back, I'm not. I think she used every ounce of power, and I think that was a terrible idea on Bravo. I would have called, if that's true, let's play that out. If it's true, if I was Bravo, I would have called her bluff, knowing that this Carol and Bethany thing, I don't think there's going to be any resolution. I think that in a perfect world, Carol would stay on. They would pick up production shortly after the reunion and just like play the shit out of this with Luann possibly back for rehab the remix. And like, honestly, like fucking film the shit and bring back goddamn Jill. Bring back Jill. So then
I would love
Tinsley as her mascot. And Lou, I guess, sorry. Carol, Tinsley, and maybe who Dorinda versus Bethany, Lou, and Jill.
Yeah.
And Ramona and Sonia are just like there for shits. Like they would literally go figurative.
Exactly. They'd be there for poop smears. They would bounce back and forth. I would just love to see Jill back. I would love to see her back.
Don't you think it's her time?
It's such a, she's been through, you know, so much since she left, and she's still been a part of the narrative and still like is still running in the same circles.
Her fucking rugs get brought up.
And I'm like, I think that it would like inject so much life, new blood and still nostalgia. And it would be so fun to see. And I would also love to see if like what her now current friend group looks like. Who would be Ramona's or who would be Jill's friend, you know, like just seeing who she's surrounding herself with. That would be,
I also think that no one can fuck with Ramona more and better than Jill goddamn Zarin. And like, Jill knows what buttons to press,
and Ramona would feel threatened, like
100%
she would feel like she had to, that it's almost like not dangerous, but like it would be so special to watch her amp it up trying to like beat out a Jill storyline. It would be like watching the Olympics of Housewives, just seeing who could really go there and go the hardest and get the most like stunning story of the season.
I couldn't agree with you more, but I don't know that it's going to happen. I mean, I'm sad that Carol's leaving regardless because I think it's a missed opportunity.
Yeah,
I think that she was 100% fired. I don't think for a single second that she quit. What about you?
I think about that quote that I was just thinking, the Bethany, how after Carol announced that she quit, how Bethany said, so I forget what publication, but she was like, let me tell you this, Housewives never quit. They're always fired.
Yeah, she tweeted it.
And I was like, oh, okay.
She tweeted it, and then fucking Kelly Kaloran Ben Simone was like, I didn't get fired, which 100% you did. Heather Thompson did tweet and was like, I didn't get fired, and that I totally believe.
Yeah.
I don't think that Heather was kicked off. I think Heather was like, I'm out.
Deuces.
Like,
Bethany, I loved Heather.
Oh, I loved Heather. I don't think that Heather, I mean, Heather could be an
interesting
person
to bring
back. Heather
wouldn't be bad to bring back, but she's closer to Carol.
Right.
So it would be weird to like, that it just would feel a little bit more out of place. And unless what they did was like bring her back and she would sort of be like, speak on Carol's behalf. Sometimes like if someone brought up Carol, she would be the one to defend her name or her honor.
Yeah. But there's not an organic fit with her. Mm-hmm. It was only with if Carol stayed. So you think that Carol got fired?
I don't know actually. Cause part of me thinks it was probably like a mutual decision. Cause she is always, I've always felt that she might have like one foot out of the door, because sometimes she feels too good for the show and other times she feels like she fits right in.
Which she uses as a weapon.
Yeah. And I think that she sort of is like, okay, she got out of it what she needed and she can write that next book of hers. I think if a book doesn't do well, she'll be back. Like something like that. You know, if something else big doesn't pop up, I'd give her a couple years until
she'll
be back.
Do you think that Carol will be allowed back? Because she seems to be chomping at the bit to release and drop production secrets. Like someone tweeted at her the other day and was like, would you do a blog about the ins and outs of production, like why you're leaving or whatever? And she was like, I'd love to. And I'm totally paraphrasing this terribly, by the way, guys. And Carol was like, I'd love to, but they would have editorial control and I don't think they would like put it up or something. Like Carol is ready to like fucking spill secrets.
But here's the thing. From what I understand is I don't think that there are any like, there really aren't any insane
demands.
Yeah, like production things. Like they air what happens in order. Like there's nothing that's like.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. Also, with your perspective watching Kardashians, like it's much more true to life than Kardashians.
It's completely like there's really no pulling the wool over your eyes, and it's like, or even like Bachelor, they're not like controlling how people say something like The Bachelor. Even, you know, it's like very. Because on the other hand, it's like, because these women are more outspoken, so they wouldn't really stand for that as much. Mm-hmm. It's like, you can't really mess around. It's like, you don't want Lisa Vanderpump or NeNe in your inbox being like, why did you make me say that? You know, like, why did you make it seem like I was acting this way? Because, so it's like, these are very strong-willed people you're dealing with, and it's almost like to save face for the network, essentially. It's like, we got to air what happens as it happens. So I don't think they're really, like, aside from regular production stuff, like when the girls of Vanderpump Rules were filming at this like barn or something in California. Ooh. A friend of mine were like obsessing over this Insta story that Stassi put up where she said something like, oh, the view from here is amazing, and you heard a producer say, can you say that again, because like they didn't quite get it. So she was like, she said the line again, but it was something that was so like in the moment. So they obviously do stuff like that most likely in terms of just getting stuff clean for editing and all that stuff, but I don't think that there's like a nitty gritty, you know,
like you don't think that there's a script.
No. They probably, I would assume, and this is, I have no idea like anything, I assume maybe they go in with an idea of like what your storyline might be for a season, but totally. I have no idea.
That's interesting. It's good to hear though that the Housewives is at least a little less manufactured, because mm-hmm. you buy into it. And I mean, obviously, as we saw, we need to talk about last night's finale, which I starred on.
I watched it and I didn't even see myself. A friend of mine saw me at the cabaret. And
I looked for you. I didn't see you.
A photo of it.
Oh my God.
I'll show you after. And I was like, I didn't even realize. But the best part is, so those flowers that Carol had, that she was like, a man gave them to me. And she's like, I'll go in the loo at the after party. My friend Will brought the flowers with him to give to Luann. And we were like calling out Luann's name. Like, take these flowers. And like, she obviously didn't hear us or ignored us. But we were
Dorinda
right next
was screaming
to the,
so loud yeah. that she
we were
through.
Right next to the door, though, so we saw them coming in and out. And we decided, as the women were exiting, we're like, we'll give the flowers to the first housewife that takes them.
Oh,
and
my
it was
God.
Carol.
And then the it made one. It.
Then they made them on air. And we were like, this is the funniest thing to us. And our, like, it's just so silly because it was these like $3 flowers he bought.
Oh, my God. Who doesn't love
Duane
a bodega
Reed.
Flower?
Yeah,
that's like
so
the best
insane.
Part of New York. It's like cheap flowers and mani-pedis. So wait, tell me your experiences, because I didn't go. I went to the first performance and then the after show. I didn't go to the actual show that the housewives were taping at.
Yeah,
I was at the
uh-huh.
one mm-hmm. before. So tell me what that was like.
Well, we had no idea they were taping until we walked in.
Oh,
and
my
it sort God. Of was like realizing that you had just like walked into a dream or something, because
it's like you have the golden ticket.
Yeah. And so there were cameras like in each corner. And then I was like, oh, this is interesting. They're probably filming. I wasn't, when I saw the cameras, I'm like, they're probably filming parts of the show.
Yeah.
Just because.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. 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 For
that.
Like press or whatever. Or B-roll.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I was like, we were sitting there and I had ordered a glass of rosé, and I saw that there was this big long table in the middle, and at 54 below, it's like, they're all four tops basically.
Right.
On the
banquet
floor. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like,
oh yeah.
I was like, huh, interesting. And I'm like counting the seats, and I was like, oh my God. And then we saw that her children were there.
Yes.
Victoria also, one of the sidebars, she went to the bathroom, which was right near, we're sort of by the bar where we were sitting, and she walked out, and like she was trying to be all cool
oh
and
my
whatever
God.
And someone was calling her name, like people kept being like, Victoria, Victoria, and she was ignoring them. She thought they were trying to get her attention, and people just wanted to tell her she had tissue on her shoe.
Oh,
and it was
no.
so funny, and she just like the
baby
whole time was just
girl.
Like, she thought that people were just trying
she was
to be
just
like
gonna
yeah.
sashay away
yeah.
with
and
her TP.
But so then when we were sitting there, like a little before the show started, the women started trickling in, and it was almost like the Beatles were walking through the door each time one of the women came through. People lost it because no one had any idea that this was what was going to happen. Like, it was just so, it was mind boggling. And like seeing them, and for me, even it's like, I've seen them at work, but seeing them walk through that door, I'm like, oh my God, it's true. Like going crazy. Like I had lost my mind. Cause you just don't. And then, okay. So, and then as we realized that like all of them are together, all of them were dressed in sequence. Like the majority of people who were there, they were so dressed up when you looked at them compared to everyone in the audience.
And their makeup.
Yeah, I think I was wearing like Chucks and a sweatshirt and
totally fine. Totally fine.
That is that for me. I was like, this is great. We're going to, you know, cabaret after work. Beautiful.
In a basement.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I was like, these women, okay, it's like they're all dressed up. They're all here. This is an opening night of Luann's show. So, huh. Something big is happening. And then I was like, we were like, this has to be the finale. And I think I texted someone and they were like, oh yeah, they're filming the finale tonight. And I was like, yes, got it. This is amazing. But watching them throughout the show was, it was fascinating. They all ordered salads. I don't think there was a single carb on the table.
Of course not.
They interacted with people who were around them who like said hi. They were very happy to be seen. Like I think when Ramona first came in, she stood up for about 10 minutes, like for just standing there. And the space is small. So it's like, we will see you. Even if you're under the table, I will see you.
She was peacocking.
Mm-hmm. But they enjoyed the show. Like there were points where Bethany was standing up, filming, dancing, to Lou. Definitely you could see the tension between Carol and Bethany. Dorinda did look mad and I was like, oh, now it all makes more sense. It was different. It was different. And I think that was probably the first time. And another thrill is that it's nice to see them all in the same room. Cause like sometimes you'll see a couple of them or a couple from different seasons, but seeing cast in the same room is like, wow, it's amazing.
So what do you think about Dorinda? Cause I feel like it was like A plot, B plot, and A plot Bethany Carroll, B Dorinda Lou. It was
That was sad. I feel very bad for the disillusion of Lou's and Dorinda's friendship.
Totally.
Because I think that they are great pals and like are good for one another.
100%.
But I don't know if I necessarily buy the whole thing that, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know if Dorinda's an alcoholic. I honestly do not know. And I'm like, I can only imagine if you are an alcoholic or even if you're not, being accused of being an alcoholic is terrible. Like I can only, like that just doesn't seem like a good time, you know?
But it felt like Lou, whether or not you felt like Lou calling out Dorinda, getting a little spicy in Colombia as like passive aggressive or if it was trying to be as a helpful friend, regardless, Dorinda's response, which was to become like garbage monster in Colombia, and then at the finale was like, sweetie, you're just proving her point.
Exactly That is true. And like that was, but then again you have to think like how mad must she have been, and the whole John thing, all that. It's like there's just so many, but I don't know. I do have some theories that I might not say on a hot mic, but I'll tell you afterwards. But I just think that like that just popped in my head. But I do think that Lou is, she does have the sort of AA rehab rhetoric where she's trying to keep a clean surrounding and like knowing how to point out these things. But for Dorinda, it might feel like the pot calling the kettle black, and she doesn't like that. Like she doesn't like being
right.
You know, she's like, this is Lou's time to be messed up.
Right. Like the focus should be on her. She was one that was arrested in Palm Beach. Here's the thing with Lou. Lou might have been drinking at that time. Mm-hmm. Lou might have had that 3-month plan where she's like, I'm going to not drink on camera a la Sonia. And then I'm going to fucking do my shit as soon as the production is wrapped. She might have been doing it because she had a legal case against her. Who the hell knows? But I think irregardless of that, Dorinda was getting spicy.
Yeah.
And Lou called it out. And then Dorinda's behavior, which was an aggressive person attempting to be passive aggressive.
Yeah.
Which yeah. is like, sweetie, you're not beta. Not at all. You're alpha Mm-mm. for days. Mm-mm. So like calling out the fashion was
that was rough. And it's like, sweetie, you didn't buy the clothes. No, you showed her where to get them. Yeah. Like you, it would have been different if Dorinda was like, I put up $10,000 for 100%. These outfits.
Or they're my dresses.
Yeah. It's like, no. It's not how it works.
And like, it sucks that John wasn't invited and it sucks that Scott was and that Lou only met yeah. Scott once. But like, the problem is that Lou met John. We know mm-hmm. how John gets. We know.
It's like she didn't want that energy around him, around her. So like.
100%. And she's a woman in some sort yeah. of state of sobriety. Staged or not or whatever yeah. it's really her business and nobody else's, like right. IRL. So you know he could have bought a ticket, but he didn't. All these other bitches are unattached and Scott couldn't fucking make it because he was hiding from Tinsley in that penthouse.
I know, in
that
Vegas.
They rented yeah at Vegas. Oh, for that God. Penthouse that they rented, I think, just for the day
yeah
to
that's
shoot
so
and then
sad.
She went straight
like,
back
this
downstairs
little thing is so big. I'm like, and also I'm just like, why don't you just get an apartment? The amount she's spending is,
it's like what, 30,000
yeah,
or 50,000
like,
a month?
Get an apartment
or get a fucking brownstone
oh,
on the
God.
Upper East Side
you and hire a butler. Like
100%.
You
would pay hire Sonia's brothers-in-law's
it's
butler.
Yeah, so I'm like, it's so.
It's the same amount of money. You're getting so much less. It you look, you don't look great.
Yeah,
living. It's like you're not Eloise.
It's
this
so
is not the plaza.
It's so like separated from reality.
100%. But so is Tinsley a little bit.
Yeah, but it's almost like. It's almost like the little girl who can't grow up, or like the woman who's a little girl.
100%.
It's like you, she needs the security of a hotel staff to feel secure or rich or successful. It's like, that's not how it works. Like, be a full blown grown up and get an apartment. I know you're picky. If you were that picky, you wouldn't be living in a hotel.
Also, Scott's paying for it. So why don't you get a place that's like more actually exactly. you and not artificial? Like living in a hotel is living in a place designed by someone else. That's temporary. You are
like
living
it's not
in purgatory.
Meant for, oh God, it's not meant for long-term living. You're not Serena Vanderwoodson. Give me a break.
100%. It just felt kind of crazy to me. What did you think about the finale overall? I mean, I was distracted because
I thought it was good.
Looking for myself.
I wish there was a little bit more. Like, I wish the show wasn't, or wish the episode wasn't totally about prepping for Lou's show and like
yeah,
everyone there.
It was.
I wish
huge
there was a
focus.
Little bit more
yeah, yeah, yeah.
about like. Where the wrap-ups were. I would have loved to seen like a coffee between Bethany and Carol, something like that.
Totally.
Just a little bit more of a wrap-up between everything we saw from last week. Because I thought it was a little bit abrupt coming into this episode. But I did enjoy it. It was fun. It was like great to watch. The drama was high. Nothing felt forced or fake. And it was
yeah.
like a...
It also felt like the cameras were like a little, I don't know if I'm using this word correctly, but like a little frenetic. Like they were kind of all over the place.
Yeah,
and I sort
yeah.
of love that vibe.
Yeah.
Like
because you
Steven
see
Soderbergh
sort of
vibe.
Like, it's like you get more. You feel like you're more in it.
100%. And as someone who was kind of like crazed while I was watching it
yeah.
happen, like it was cool to see it go back. Like I didn't see any of the shit with like Bethany and Carol talking and Ramona
so
losing
funny.
Her mind. So it was like watching that was actually kind of great.
And you're like, this was the same room. Oh my God.
Yeah, it was yeah. it was the room where it happened, you guys. Okay, so shifting gears, nothing happened on OC this week that we need to discuss.
Okay,
Eddie
good.
Might be dying.
Oh God, yes, poor heart.
Pray for Eddie, you
but
guys.
Tamara, when she
and
was
for
last
Tamara,
on
she
Watch
doesn't
what
have
happens.
A plot.
She said he has to go into surgery again, or
yeah,
is like,
for like the 900th time. Jesus. Can someone just give him a heart? How
That's
hard
sad.
Is that? Vicky,
That's a lot.
As soon as she finds hers, can't she like buy one get one?
So a BOGO,
right? Potomac, I'm going to talk about next
okay,
week. Just because the reunion was magical and I could talk about Karen and separately Candace for some reason. I could talk about Candace for
really?
Days. I find Candace so interesting because she presents as like a princess and yet she hates the word and it's like, sweetie,
it's you.
It's not a title. It's a description.
Oh my God.
Like 100%. Like I don't get it. And her talking about how Miss United States.
Yeah,
which
that's sad.
She's like, it's a national title. And I was like, watching her just thinking like no
is her husband white
now
or
husband
black?
They just got married
yeah
white but
oh,
he has
wow.
a brown dick that's the whole
oh,
thing
oh yes
Chris
about
is
that.
White with a brown dick
Jesus Christ
which comes up over and over again. I mean it was amazing. They looked terrible. I loved every second of it.
Oh my God.
But let's talk a little bit about the Dallas premiere which
oh God
last
yes
night, because it was I think Dallas is maybe going to be my favorite franchise.
Dallas is great. And I think Dallas really showed us that they can bring it last season. Because the first season I enjoyed, but then watching the second season was amazing.
Totally. Total new. Total
Leanne is a... She's meant to be on TV. I loved the premiere because it felt like it... that not much time had passed. It gave a very good, you know, pickup of what happened. I love seeing Mama D. I love seeing all the... I love, like, how insane they are. And the fact that DeAndra had that 40-year party, absolutely amazing.
Oh, my God. It was like when Ramona had an anniversary party and was, like, year 18, and it made absolutely no sense.
And I love how Leanne looks better every season.
She does. I love that she takes strong choices with her confessional outfits. Mm-hmm. I do think that Stephanie and Brandy can never break up their friendship again because... got her a baby.
How do you feel? Oh, yeah. Oh, I did want to talk about that.
Yeah, tell me.
So I love the fact that Brandy got the baby. It was a little, to me, it's a little bizarre to be like, I got a text message saying, do you want this baby?
And she, of course, thinks it's a dog because that would be more normal communication.
And then the fact that baby's photo was just circulated, and I'm happy they clarified that it was through an adoption agency and not just like some baby at a hospital.
No, totally. But it was a little gingy baby.
Yeah, and the fact, and it is bizarre that they could get a red eye or a red haired, green eyed baby
in like an hour.
Yeah, it's something. There's a missing link to the narrative that I'm dying to know.
I think she said on Watch What Happens Live that it was like a young couple, like teenagers, closed adoption. They don't know what the fuck they were going to do. Baby was coming. Baby got born. Mom never looked at the baby, which I actually thought was like really smart of the mom.
Because that's you.
Because you don't want to get an attachment and you know that this is not the right home for your kid.
Oh, God.
And then fucking separated it. And then it just worked out. I don't know if they, because I would think, I don't know how adoption works, but I guess it's potentially easier and just a lot more fucking expensive if you go through a private adoption agency.
So.
On almost like concierge style.
Yeah.
I mean, I genuinely don't have any idea, but it's kind of a fucking miracle, aside from the fact that he has red hair, that this happened.
It's crazy.
The timing of it is insane. The fact that it came from Stephanie, and knowing that this never would have happened if they stayed estranged, is like, you owe
it's
this
bizarre.
Woman. You owe this woman your child.
It was beautiful how Stephanie immediately broke down crying when she saw the baby. That
she was
sweet.
Like, I want him to think of
that
me as an
sweet.
Aunt and shit. I was like, 100%
I do.
Into
it was, and maybe I'm just judging too harshly.
No, do it. This is the place for that.
It was weird that even though she only had the baby for 2 weeks, that was the first time Stephanie saw the baby.
Yeah, how's that possible?
That doesn't seem possible. It's like, it's not like they live, you know.
No, I think Stephanie should have been there.
She should have been there when the baby was picked up, basically.
Yeah, 100%.
And like, you should have been at your girl's home.
Maybe she was. Maybe no.
I don't think so. Those tears were too
organic.
First time, yeah.
God, I loved it. So you just mentioned Mama D. I felt like Mama D was acting like a little bit of a Mama Joyce during the
anniversary
party.
And I think
what
that
the fuck
she
was happening?
Is
she too into being on TV?
I think she's very into it. And I think that she realized how much the audience loved her last season, and now it's like, I'm here, which is part of the reason why I think she took the keys back to the company, because that meant more screen time. And she knew, like, this is what, you know, this is my end to have at least a little bit of a narrative.
Really?
So I think she enjoys it, because for her, it doesn't ruin her sort of like very buttoned up reputation to be on a reality show. If she's like reality show adjacent, essentially, she still gets that camera time in the audience and like the fans, but it's not someone who's in her home every day, you know?
Like the fact that she at one point brought up DeAndra being in negative relationships and was, I wrote it down, like DeAndra had a few experiences, trust me, to her like token gay. I was like,
she wants to stir the pot.
Fucking mean.
Yep. She wants to stir the pot, and I'm like, it shows you how fame can change people, even if you're elderly. Like, it's
no,
so
it really
she
can.
Really knows, and she knows how to like, she knows how to get what she wants, and she wanted to be on TV.
Yeah, it was sad to
but me. Then also I think that it, what we might see more in DeAndra is that she, even when she's doing the seating, she's like, keep your friends close, enemies closer, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, you put your mom next to you because you knew that would make good TV. It's like, you knew that that's what...
Yeah, you didn't have a choice in that.
It's like, there's no... Whatever. So I'm like, so I think she gets it.
Oh, God. It's going to be...
Yeah.
It's going to be some tough stuff to sit through, but I honestly, it was like everything, like the color of my TV screen when it was, I don't know what to, it just felt so rich and colorful and things were happening and I missed these women and they so destroyed season two. Like shout out to Bravo because season one was trash and season two
the
was.
The fact they knew to bring it back was, it's phenomenal. A genius decision.
It was so genius and I feel like season three looks so good. So like,
and they get a real vacation. It's all amazing. Yes, it's great.
They
it's
don't
great.
Have to go to some fucking ski house or wherever the hell they were. Brandy and Stephanie's little house.
Their whole the family's house. So stupid.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's great. And I'm like very excited to see the fact that what's her face has the laser place now and has her own.
What's her face?
I always forget her name.
So do I. Oh my God. Dr. Whatever's wife.
Jesus.
She's a nurse, you guys.
Starts with the C, right?
Oh my God, what the fuck is her name? Now I can only think of Cam, but that's obviously not Barbie. That. Whatever the hell her name is. I'm going to do a quick little.
Jesus, how am I forgetting her name?
No, that's okay. That means she's obviously integral to the plot. But anyway.
But the fact that she was able to afford a Porsche was like pretty shocking to me. Carrie Duber, duh. I don't know why.
Oh my
why
God, Carrie and Mark Duber. Yes.
I don't know why. Wow, that was shocking. But no, I think that.
She is slightly unmemorable.
But I like her. I do like her
She's
a lot.
She's sort of like the old school Bethany of Dallas.
I like her because I think she should not be married to that crazy man.
Yeah.
And she is smart. And I don't know, like. I think sometimes she makes decisions based more on what she thinks her husband wants rather than what she wants.
Totally.
Like, I hate that. But I do think she's smart and I think she's fun and like actually has a good head on her shoulders and knows what she wants, but can still be gold on TV. But I still don't understand how much, I think it's this. I also don't understand like how wealth works in Texas. So
totally.
The fact that in my mind, I'm like, if you have enough money to buy a Porsche and your husband to invest $1 million in like your own little laser company that you run part time, shouldn't your home be decorated in more than like tans and beige carpets? Like there's stuff like that where I'm like, it doesn't make sense to
me.
Like the amount of money they seem to have with how their homes look and like how they choose to dress. It just doesn't make sense.
But I also feel like they don't have a natural sense of style. Like Deandra's house, which we saw last season, was like tricked out. Her husband's like a photographer or something. So,
they also traveled a lot and brought stuff.
And the Dubers, I don't want to compare.
It's cookie cutter, like it's McMansion.
Cookie cutter.
Yeah.
It's like, for some reason, to me, it's a shade of Alex and Simon where they're just doing a lot. Yeah. They're showing. Like when Alex took Simon and bought her like a $10,000 McQueen and stuff.
When they did that shopping spree and where were they, blue and cream or whatever. Christ,
yeah, it was a lot where they were trying to show the world this is how much money we have. Going to the opera, like posing, and he was, you know, a hotel manager.
But even
at the time.
They had the know how to renovate their home.
Totally.
You know, and make it a little more like the Dubers are very much a house that I went to an elementary school in the suburbs of St. Louis. Like that type of home of people who made $250K a year.
100%. You know? Except he's, I guess, raking it in.
That's the thing. It's like, how can you invest $1 million?
In a decorator. Maybe because the whole thing with Mark Duber is that like he knows his style or thinks he does. And he doesn't want to spend it. He doesn't want anybody else to get that credit.
He is
but
like,
him.
He does like the
like
fashion
Ramona
angle,
with her quasi renovation.
Oh my God.
Which was
that
just
was,
going
I
to Pier 1.
I actually didn't think it was that bad. I thought it looked clean. And like, you know, Bethany's house, even with all the,
you
like,
can't compare it.
No, here's the thing. Bethany's house was still very minimalist in a way.
Yeah. And it didn't have a lot of character.
Yeah. And
right.
So I'm
no,
like,
it was just money. Bethany's house was money.
But Ramona's sort of was like that too. Hers was basically like a Nancy Meyers home.
Ramona's?
Yes.
That is quite.
I think, oh my God. It was very
positive
like,
comment.
I don't think it was that bad.
I don't think it was that bad, but I don't think it was that well produced. I think Ramona saying she did it all online. I was like, yeah, you did. It was what I would do in my free time. It's like a lot of fucking white walls and some fucking art and ask Jules Aaron for a favor. Honestly, like she's not putting, this is
oh
it. Like Nancy Meyers, like you walk into this like lush.
But she had like the white kitchen
fantasy.
And like the beautiful crisp. You know,
yeah, there
look.
Was an island there. Like, yeah. There, yeah, she had the ingredients.
I stand by
it. I'm into it. Can I please tell you what a pleasure this was?
It was amazing. Thank you for having me.
Oh my God, this was so great. We're going to do like a brief little 30-second sass for TV Party Social. So guys, stay tuned for that. Such a pleasure. Tell everybody your social handles.
Yes. You can follow me on Twitter at Mariah, which is M-R-I-A-H, Mariah without the first A, and on Instagram at Mariah, Mariah, Mariah.
Which is like such a good Instagram handle, by the way. That's like,
thank you. Well, it's my website too. It's Mariah. Oh my God,
which I've been to, and it's like really beautiful and colorful, so everybody should visit that. Guys, such a pleasure kicking with you this Smith.
This week, Miss Smith.
Yes. Words are hard. Words are complicated and difficult. Such a pleasure having you on my couch. Guys, tell us your thoughts. Hashtag Andy's Girls. Tweet me, because now it's public and whatever, at Sarah Galley, and Instagram at Dame Galley. And I love all the photos that you guys have been sending me. So if you have any questions specific about the experience of being, you know, in the room where it happened, tweet me, Instagram me, at Dame Galley, do all that shit. And we'll kick you with you next week. Bye, guys. Such a pleasure.